We're going to do another Kingdom Government legislation session, how to legislate. We're going to just recap. What is legislation? The process of making and or acting laws. What is it to use that or to legislate? To use legislative authority to provide, create, prepare, or rule. We legislate from mountains, in courts, in the realms of heaven, so that it can be outworked on earth as it is in heaven first. And that is the key in these things. It isn't just a new form of prayer or a new way of doing things while we're here. We need to be in that realm, functioning in that realm, to be able to outwork from that realm. So we get legislation at the Ark, various courts, temple, various places that God can give us particular legislation, whether it comes in a form of a mandate or a law or a legislative document. They're all different, but we get them in those realms. In legislative government, it's absolutely vital that we know our heavenly identity, who we are as sons of God. It's vital that we know our heavenly position, the position we have, the mountain, whether that be in the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, various courts. We need to know our position of authority and not go beyond the jurisdiction of that position. It's vital that we know our heavenly authority. Those three work together to form a foundation of heavenly government that outwork as we learn how to engage and make legislation. The position that we, who we are, because a position is so tied to identity that we need to know who we are in that position. It carries provision with it. Heaven recognizes it, the angelic realm recognizes it, and therefore we have what we need to be able to outwork our identity in that position. So legislation uses laws or principles of the kingdom. And the basic foundation of this comes from Zechariah 3:7, to perform my service or keep my requirements. It's a priestly function to keep my charge, to keep or follow my instructions, to outwork my covenant. All those are different ways of saying the same thing. It must come from love. It must come out of relationship. It must come from us knowing who we are in relationship with God and flowing from that. We aren't don't do this to gain our identity. We don't do this to gain our position or to earn it or to validate it. We know who we are. We know where we are seated in the heavenly places. And therefore, we outwork these things from that place of security in our relationship with God, which brings our identity in fullness. So it's important that we come from that relational perspective. So when we look at legislation and we look at how we make legislation, we produce that through who we are. And God uses us and he comes through us, just as all the word of God is written through people. It's the same thing with legislation. So if you're doing, let's say, corporate legislation and you engage in the court of kings, because the process for receiving legislation or laws is in the court of kings, so we must be operating within the kingship aspect of our identity and position, then we receive from there certain things. We may receive a piece of legislation which already exists, and therefore we are just then taking that so we can use it. We may also produce new legislation which has never existed, that flows out of our spirit onto a scroll, let's say, and it's written in front of us. Well, as people engage that, once you have that written, sometimes if you're very familiar with these things, you can go to the Court of Chancellors and you can get it agreed, because it comes in a framework that you understand and you know. And that's much easier to do individually than it is to do corporately. Then you can then take that into the Court of Scribes, and then you can get written into the statute books, and then you have the authority to use it. But if you're doing something corporate and you're receiving something corporately, let's say a bench of 3 or 7 or 12 working together on a piece of legislation, then you're going to get different people's viewpoints of how they receive and see that or engage it. And therefore, it needs some shaping to bring it into a format that everyone can agree and understand. And when we first did this here, we had people who were functioning in the still in the realm of the Holy Spirit. So they were receiving revelation in the form of pictures rather than seeing something directly. And people received various things that the first time we did it were looked like a jumble of different scriptures, truth, authorizations, declarations. And we received this. And as a bench of three, we looked at it and thought, well, we can't just take this into the Court of Chancellors and get it authorized, because we don't even know what this really is until we've begin to shape it. So we looked at the first things, because we noted it all down, looked at it, and we thought, God, we need some help. So we engaged heaven, and the revelation came that there are four aspects to legislation that each of these things could be slotted into to make sense, and that people have different bits of the jigsaw to make a whole. So we then produced a framework which would help people from our mountains when they began to do legislative things. It would help them understand the different things that people were receiving and the different things that people were engaging, and then see where do they fit within a legislation framework. So I'd like to share that with you, so that when you corporately engage in legislation, or even individually, that you have some idea of some of the things that you may receive and how they fit within a legislative document. Essentially, as sons of God, we are called to rule and reign in life. And so our personal life needs to be governmental, and we need to be ruling in our personal life, because that then gives us ongoing authority to work together with others. Now, this operates, you know, as I said, in terms of governmentally as kings, to take charge, responsibility for the earth and the outworking of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So as sons, we're now learning how to form and shape laws that will provide the structure and authority to our realms of dominion authority, enable us to establish government. And without laws, the government fails. I mean, if you can think of a national position where there were no laws and no one knew what was acceptable, not acceptable, what they were authorized to do or not authorized to do, it would be chaos. So the kingdom of God is no different. He has various principles, various legislative understandings that help us outwork our destiny, our government, our authorization to rule as sons of God. So God is revealing laws to us and teaching us how to legislate from heaven to earth. And this is something quite new. I guess he's done this and used people, even though they didn't really understand it through different ages. But we're in a time now where I think things are being unveiled in a way, because we are now engaging in sonship in that realm. We need to understand more about it. So often, when we begin to get laws, it would be great if they were nicely, neatly arranged in a download, which often is how I get it, but that's not always the case, as I said. So sometimes we get statements, declarations, scriptures, impressions. They can be shaped into something that becomes legislative and authoritative and that we can rely on and use. So different people get different facets of the same law. And we recognize that until that's related and collated and structured, sometimes it can be difficult to see the wood for the trees. So that's why we're producing this legislative process, to help structure and shape something so that it's become easier to use. So there are four things that are within a context of a law that we need to understand. First is the context. What is this law about? Who's it for? And that type of thing, you know, and the context may give you a little bit more, and I'll go through them in detail in a minute. So the authority, the rights and powers that the law gives. The jurisdiction, the area that you have the right to use this law in. And the consequences and results, what you're looking for and what may be a consequence of you using this. And that's something to think about. Okay, so let's look at the context. This should all form a clear explanation of what the law is for. That's the basics of context. This is the background to the law being written. will contain all the supporting information relevant to the law being drawn up. That the following are examples of what could be included in the context. Scriptural references, information from a mountain blueprint, other reasons the law is needed that God has revealed or you have seen in heavenly places, that just gives something of a context for this to be used. Now, the second thing is authority, rights, and powers. These are the things that we actually use in the law to shape the things that we do. Now we have this authority. In essence, this is what the law enables you to do, often with statements like, you are authorized to, you are empowered to, you have the right to. And that's when you get to the nitty-gritty of the law, because this enables you to function and do those things. You may understand the context, but if you don't know what it actually says you can do, that isn't enough. Authority, this is where God gives specific explanation of what you're being authorized to do. It is the express permission to use the law. The rights, these are the privileges and entitlements God has given to operate the law. Rights come from your identity and position. Individual rights or corporate rights when part of a bench. This could include the right to make declarations or proclamations, the right to be acknowledged in heaven on earth as having this authority by the angelic realm, the right to enforce the law and hold others accountable for the outworking of that. Now, accountability, again, is something which helps people then know that they're not just, they're responsible to outwork according to what God has decreed and declared, not just any way we like. And that means operating in love and operating in truth and all those things. The powers, these will be the governmental things, governmental in nature powers. You may have the authority, but not the power to use it. It's like, and this you know, the illustration of a policeman who has the authority to say stop to the traffic, but the power to do that is in a sense, he knows that he has the power, but what if the driver doesn't recognize that he has the authority? It's very difficult. Now, if he had the power of some super force that would be able to actually stop the physical car in its tracks, then the authority and the power would go together. So when we are operating from a heavenly perspective, we need to know the authority, but God will empower us and enable us to use it so that that then gets outworked. So you may have a court order or a verdict, but you have to have the ability to use those things, which means that you have to say, no, you can't, to the enemy if he's trying to impinge a court order or counteract a verdict. So you have to use the authority in a way of powerful use of declaration and decree to actually enforce that which you have the authority to do. And in your own life, if the enemy recognizes that you do not have the power, even though you may have the permission, then he is going to challenge you. So it's important that you recognize the power that you have to say no. So this may include abilities, healing, manipulation of matter, all sorts of supernatural abilities are the powers to outwork a particular position of authority. Functions, judicial, priestly, military, they're all functions where power is outworked in a particular way. Skills and competencies, aptitudes, know-how, expertise. And we build this up when we learn the kingdom, how the kingdom functions, the government of the kingdom. It's like when we first enter into it, we may not understand a lot of things and we may not be very skillful and competent in using certain things because we may feel insecure or we may feel inadequate. But once we know our identity, we know our position, we've received the legislation, then we can operate in authority and outwork that through the powers that are, in a sense, a representation of who we are. Faculties, senses, gifts, capabilities. All these things help us to effectively rule and govern and establish kingdom government. Then there's the area of jurisdiction. And the jurisdiction is exactly what it means. It equates to who and what the law applies to. So if my jurisdiction is the UK and I try to apply this law to China, then I'm stepping outside of the boundaries of that. And it could be that that's a place or it could be that's people. So all law applies to something. It has specific government over territories, realms, dimensions, people, places, or things. Now, when we're talking about a law applies to people, we're obviously not talking about controlling people or doing anything manipulative towards people, but to bless them. So a law is always going to bring people, if it, let's say it's a law to release a harvest, then you're going to be able to target people from different people groups and reach them with the love of God. And so it will enable you to engage that people group because that's the focus of the jurisdiction of that law. It could be a place, a territory. So we need to understand why this, because it's important we don't step outside of that. So the laws that God gives us are governmental and therefore give us authority for dominion and the right to rule over a specific area of responsibility. Again, not to control, but to release blessing, freedom, harmony, health, you know, to find and fulfill destiny. It's all about helping people and the whole planet, if you like, cosmos, to come back into agreement and alignment with God's original purpose and intent to bring into freedom, the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So just because you have a heart for something or compassion for someone does not mean you automatically have jurisdiction. You may be moved by having compassion to go and get jurisdiction or get a mandate to do something, but don't assume. Don't step outside of the jurisdiction that you've been given just because you see a need or have a heart. It's important we don't go beyond the spheres of influence or specific mandates that we've been given. Because there are dangers in that. I know Robert Henderson talked about a story with two ladies who saw themselves as intercessors and they were operating in spiritual warfare type things. This is before an understanding of the court systems and things. So they were going to tackle the principality or power of New York. And they began whatever they did. You know, I don't know whether usually probably from this realm and they were trying to call into the atmosphere or whatever it was. But within a year, those two ladies who I think were in their, not old, in their 20s, 30s, basically died of the same rare form of cancer. Now, that's not to scare you or to create fear, but it is to use things wisely and to understand the area of your jurisdiction so that you have the authority rather than stepping outside of that area and trying to use authority you don't have. Because that can get us into trouble. So just because you live somewhere, that doesn't necessarily authorize you either. You know, and just because you don't live somewhere, that doesn't mean that you can't have authority in a place where you don't live. You know, these things, you know, sometimes people just say things and put down rules and things because it makes common sense to them. But actually, God doesn't operate through our common sense. He can give you a mandate to operate in somewhere completely outside of where you live. But just because you live somewhere doesn't mean that you can do something unless you're given the authority for that particular territory. Family, friends, it's another area. How much authority do we have when it comes to legislating into people's lives? Well, some of that is dependent on how much authority they have given us. Or any specific mandate that we've been given, but you cannot overrule free will. We may do court cases on people's behalf. We may make declarations and decrees that they will come into their health and wholeness or come into freedom or come into life, whatever it might be. But those people are responsible for how they respond and the choices that they make. And we can't control someone or manipulate someone. We can only call forth looking to create an environment that will help those people make the right choices. They have to make them. So you have authority to carry something in your heart. Then you can have given a specific mandate. Now, to carry something in your heart means, like my family, I carry in my heart then I know I can have government towards them, but within the boundaries that God sets. So this could be for a group of people, Christians in general, the ecclesia, a church, a mountain bench, vulnerable group. You know, God can give you authority for a particular people group. An earthly place or territory. For here, Barnstable, Devon, England, Germany, UK, Europe, USA, the world, the universe. You know, some people operate on a universal basic because they're called to that level of authority. You know, if we're called, like here, we have a ecclesia setting in Barnstable within North Devon, then, you know, I personally have authority in a wider sphere because I have a regional mandate, and that regional mandate is extending into England and beyond. Then that I operate with that authority. But I can't do it just because I live in England. It must be something that's given to me and I know. Spiritual places, a dimension of heaven, your mountains, church mountains, the enemy's trophy room, courtrooms. You can have authority to operate in there. So you need to know that. Don't go into a place if you don't know the authority that you have within it. Sometimes we get to view places and see how they function. Don't try and jump in and just do something unless you have a mandate or you're clear that that's an area, a spiritual area that you have responsibility for. Spiritual beings, angels, the angelic beings. No, I don't have any authority over someone else's angels. I can work with them in that, particularly those that are looking to get someone saved or looking to get someone into a deeper relationship with God. I can certainly work with them, but I can't command someone else's angel to do something, but certainly working with them is important. So there's a sense where we may be given a legion of angels, and therefore we know that we have the authority to assign those angels. But again, don't make an assumption. Make sure you're clear. Resources, money, crops, water, power sources, all the things that we might need in the future for a city of refuge or an embassy heaven. You know, we may have authority over water courses or the aquifers of the deep to produce water or anything to multiply it, to produce new power sources which are not linked to the grid. All those things may be areas that we're given responsibility for, and then we can function in that. And certain people may be given responsibility for certain things, not necessarily everything. So be sure to know what it is that you've been given a jurisdiction for. Consequences or results. That's the last part of the legislative framework. A lot of people, when they make legislation, actually are declaring and decreeing. So it's almost like these are the things that this legislation would authorize them to do and say. So they start thinking that that's the legislation. It's the what we're looking for. And often I have a piece of legislation, I make a law, and then I would produce several ways where I use that law, and I make decrees, calling things forth, declaring things to be, calling things that be not as if they are, as a result of the authorization that the law gives me. Those are not the law, but those are the results of the law. I make a declaration on the basis that I have the authority to do so. But the consequences are another thing we need to look at in it. This is what happens when the law is used and what happens when the law is opposed or broken. Because it doesn't always follow the case that everything is smooth sailing. There's opposition. We need to overcome certain things. Expectations that manifest blessing. The results of using that law. Contempt of court. What happens when it's broken? Well, we can do a contempt of court. We can go back to court. Bring the whatever it is, familiar spirit or territorial spirit, whatever, in front of the court and look for them, the court, to deal with them. But we need to know that we have the authority to do that. Ongoing use to maintain authority. Just using a law once probably isn't going to get it done. You don't just put a law onto the statute books of a nation and then forget it. You then authorize whatever authority that be, let's say it's a police authority, or it could be a local government authority or a regional authority. They then maintain that, and then they look and see whether it's being kept or not. Or if it's a positive thing, you've been given authority to do something, then the accountability is that then you're ongoingly doing that. You don't just do it once and forget it, unless it's a one-off thing. Sometimes they are. This will include the expected results, effects, or outcomes, and such as what we do as a result, making declarations, decrees, creative statements, assigning angels, releasing sounds from heaven, innumerable things that we can do as a result of the law. Discernment in judgments. You know, again, every discernment and judgment we make is to bring life, not to bring punishment and death, because it comes out of the love of God and the nature of God's judgment and discernment. Justice. When we have a law, justice is that law is outworked, and we see the results of that being implemented and outworked. Blessings. It's great to see blessings come as a result of what we're decreeing and declaring. Freedoms. Something may bring a people or a group into freedom from a particular bondage or from a particular mindset so that they operate in freedom. Multiplications. To effectively begin to increase. Salvations. Some laws will result in salvations. And obviously salvation is an initial entrance into a relationship with God, but an ongoing outworking of that life of God within us. Restorations. Some things need to be restored. Well, everything needs to be restored, but there may be specifics related to a particular piece of legislation. Miracles. Yeah. Favor. Peace. All these things can be the result of what we're looking for from a particular piece of legislation. And you can put etc, etc, etc. Fill in the blanks. There's so much more that may be for the particular law or legislation that you have. Also, it will detail any consequences on non-compliances, such as things like a sevenfold return for everything stolen. And that's a biblical principle. If you don't use it, then you're not likely to get the sevenfold return. If you know it and you have the authority to use it, then that's something that can be given. Return of curses spoken. We know a curse without cause can't alight. So it returns to that who is cursed. Removal of rights from those in opposition. That can be a consequence. Loss of favor and blessing. Yeah. These sort of things happen, and you can see what happens in the Word of God when those things happen, but it's something that we need to be aware of when it comes to it. Authority to use the courts of heaven to enforce the law. You know, sometimes we need to send angels to do it, and they need to be given an assignment to do it, and we can use the different courts potentially to enable us to do that. Then there's the law of unintended consequences. Now, we found this law when we started legislating and we didn't really think of what was going to happen as a result of it. And we found this is now causes us to consider before we actually use a law what could occur and try as best as we can to prepare for that so that we're not taken unawares or surprised by the use of the law. Now, the very first time this happened, the first law actually I ever produced, which was the law of fatherhood and sonship, and I went through the process and shared it with our bench of three. It was agreed here. We went through a process of agreement, and then it was then authorized to be used. And I actually wasn't there on the next Sunday, but what happened was that the presence of God came in fatherhood, just touching people's lives, and unearthed all sorts of issues regarding fatherhood and sonship and that type of thing. And a lot of people, men particularly, were in tears over it, and various things happened. Now, we work with a group of people from a rehabilitation unit, and of course, fatherhood issues are huge issues with them. Now, we didn't realize how it was going to impact them. And what happened was several of them couldn't cope and ran, because they just couldn't cope with facing the issues of their woundedness when it came to fatherhood and brokenness and everything else. So we didn't even warn the rehabilitation unit that this might happen. And so one of them ran and left the program simply because they couldn't cope with facing it. So now, whenever we do something that's likely to have a consequence or an outworking with that group, we let the people know that we're going to do something so that they can prepare. And we also could have prepared. We could have offered ministry. We could have offered direct support. We could have set up the cut following week. We could have basically set up appointments within our ministry team. We could have done a lot of things, but there was unintended consequences, and we've seen that a number of times. So it's important that we're as prepared as possible for the things that the law releases or causes. Now, you aren't always going to be able to be prepared for everything, but it helps to think about what might be the cause and effect. So prepare resources, get things ready, depending on what it is. Communicate with those it might affect. Now, I was doing some legislative things regarding government and regarding God's fire and the fire of God purifying hearts and minds within government. And I didn't communicate with those it might affect. And then I kept getting these testimonies when we got together governmentally of different things that are happening. You know, it was hardships that came on, things that, you know, were challenges in people's lives. And then it suddenly dawned on me, this could be an effect that was caused by what I was decreeing and declaring last week or last month. You know, so I've learned to be a little bit more communicative to share some of the things I'm doing if it has a possibility of affecting others so that they can be ready. Now, it would be great, again, you know, if we're going to just look at engaging in this a little bit, you know, I would encourage you again, as we just look to perhaps engage the Court of Kings legislatively, to look and see about a law, what that law might entail, you know, to be open to receive, you know, write things down, jot things down, and then see if it works out within this sort of type of framework, that it may just be helpful for you in the future when you're corporately producing legislation and things like that, to use this framework so that we can be familiar and able to use government correctly, wisely, with precision to facilitate and outwork the kingdom as God wants. So I'd encourage you to, again, engage in the open heaven. You know, we're going to step into that realm or shift our consciousness to engage where perhaps we already are in that particular way. So again, I'd encourage you to close your eyes. Just begin to meditate on that open door, that open heaven that we have. We just thank you for that door standing open in heaven. We thank you for the invitation we always have to come up here or to engage here. So by faith, we take a step to enter through the veil, to engage the open door. Jesus, again, we just thank you continually, you know, for the reality of who you are, that reality that you're waiting for us, that you're always there. And as we engage with you in that place, I ask, Jesus, that you would just lead, guide, direct each person to where they need to be. Engage them in that reality of the truth of who they are. We just yield and surrender to you. I ask you to just lead each person to engage through the veils, release mandates, just release authorizations to engage legislatively within the Court of Kings, perhaps to receive a scroll or a piece of legislation. Just unveil the context, the powers, rights, authority, the jurisdiction, the results. Yeah. Just take us through the veils of the way and the truth and the life, that we can come before you, to come and step before the Court of Kings with an authorization to receive legislation. So by faith, just allow Jesus to lead you to that place of government. Just come before the Court of Kings and receive legislation, laws that empower you and authorize you individually, corporately. Just spend some time just receiving.